to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are excited to be here. Let's stand up and sing this song together. We're going to sing about standing in the love of Jesus Christ this morning. Let's sing this out together. When darkness tries.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own.
That you've come to worship here in our second service. We had a wonderful early service. We look forward to this hour as well. If you are a guest participating online, welcome, and we're thankful that you are worshiping with us. We invite you to sing with us, stand with us and sing if you want to right there in your home. If you're driving, Just do what you got to do. Anyway, but thank you for participating with us. We're also thankful that you're there. If you would take a moment to let us know you're there, the best way you can do that is to grab your phone and text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. Just the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It'll start a little text exchange with me later today. We'd love to be able to check on you that way. So thank you very much for doing so. If you're a guest in the room, thank you for being here. We would ask you to take just a moment to tear off the registration that you received in the worship guide when you came and to fill that out and then place it in the offering box as you leave, or bring it to me at the welcome desk before you leave. We have a gift for you, and we'd like to send you something in the mail. We're not going to come to your house. We promise that, but we would like to send you a gift to your house. So please let us know that you're here, and thank you for that. Regular attenders, there's a number of things for you to sign up for, to be a part of. We'll talk more about that at the conclusion of the service. I do have a little family church business to take care of really quickly before we carry on in worship. So when you came in your worship guide, you received a deacon ballot. Now, what is a deacon? A deacon is a lay minister in our church. We have 24 men who serve on a rotating basis, 3 years at a time. So 8 each year rotate on and 8 rotate off. There are 24 serving at once. And these men serve as pastoral extensions of the church. They help us to pray for people, to care for people, to show up when there's a need or a crisis. They help us when it comes to major things going on here in the church. And so we have 8 men that have served faithfully who are about to rotate off. You have to be off for at least a year before you can come back on. And so in that list, you'll see a list of names. That's just men who have been a member at least 2 years here in the church. It's a qualification. You have to be an official member at least 2 years to be able to be considered. So today we nominate 8, meaning you can select up to 8 names. And then if you'll fold that over, there's a basket in the back to place those in, not the offering box, but a basket as you leave. We will then take those names. We'll take the top 16 of those. We will do a little time of testing and questions with some of them. And then we'll bring back to you next week a list of 16 names. And then on the following Sunday, the final Sunday of the month, we will then select from those 16, the 8 that will serve as deacons. That seems like quite a process, but why do we do it that way? We do it so that there's some fidelity to the process, so it's not just a very quick who happens to be in the room today or what. It allows 2 layers so that you have an opportunity to really be careful in your selection. If you are fairly new members here, we have quite a few folks that are fairly new. If you don't know that 8 people that you know well would serve in that role in a good way, then we invite you, please don't vote for 8. If you need to vote for 2, vote for 2. If you vote for 4, 4. Or if you have 8, that's fine as well. And we would thank you for that. If you are not an official member, the only way you can vote is to be an official member. You can join at the end of the service. We'd love for you to vote. If otherwise, if you'll just hold on to that, we'll leave it for the others to do that for that time. So thank you for that. It may seem like this is just a tedious task, but the reality is it makes a huge difference in our church to have men who are serving and praying and helping to lead in different ways. And so we're thankful for this, and it's important. There are several things that will happen this month. For example, at the end of the month, we'll vote on our ministry budget. Our budget year runs from September 1st to August 31st. So we've got to vote on a new budget before September 1st. You may think that seems tedious and trying. The reality is it's what sets the vision for where we're headed and what we'll do, how we'll minister in our community, what we'll be about. We've got some exciting plans and things we're working on for next year. You may not realize this, but First Baptist Church in 2023 will be 140 years old. I think we're going to make it, y'all. I'm telling you. Feel good about that. Only a couple people in the room were here when we started, but everybody else, pretty much, it's new and fresh for us. And so we've got some celebrating we'll be doing next year, but we don't want to miss celebrating this year, and we don't want to miss celebrating today. So let me go ahead and tell you that in our early service, Baron and Crystal Rouse joined our church. Baron and Crystal moved here from Warrior, Alabama, back 8 months or so ago into our area for work. And they were very active in the church there. They come to the early service. So we'll have their picture for you to see it next week. But we're excited to have them come and serve faithfully and be a part of our faith family. So my question is, who's next? And maybe that's you, and we're thankful for that. And we want you to know we appreciate you. We're thankful you've come to worship today. Our church of the week we're praying for today is The fellowship. Thank you very much. Sorry, my mind. We're praying for the fellowship all this week from today through next Saturday. Their pastor is Alan Atkins. We would ask you to pray for them, for God to bring revival there, for God to do a mighty work there. They had a men's conference yesterday. I watched a little bit of it online. It was great, and I know that they were blessed by that. But pray for their church and pray for their ministry in the coming months. Then our missionary of the week that we're praying for is it's actually a mission organization, not a person. It is Real Life Pregnancy Resource Centers. Right here in Marshall County, there's a center in Albertville and there's one in Guntersville. We've been blessed to partner with them for many, many years. We have volunteers from our church who serve there, some who are on the board, some who serve as counselors. We have some who serve there as a nurse manager and paid staff there. We're thankful for that ministry. They are being the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. So we're glad to be a part of it. So pray for them. They have seen a great increase in clients, people who are coming for help. If you want to be a help, not only can you pray, there's something you can do. Bring a bag or a box of diapers. Bring it here. Unused, obviously. What am I saying? I don't know. Thinking. If you were thinking about bringing, never mind. I'm gonna say it again. Don't bring cloth diapers. Bring disposable diapers. We'll just stop with that. If you would like to, we will donate them to them. Okay, so give your best, people. Give your best. All right. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to gather and worship. Lord, I'm thankful for the Sunday school hour and the small groups and what took place. I'm thankful for the children that were here and ministered to. Lord, it takes 52 adults to volunteer between 8:30, 9:30, and 10:30 just to care for and lead our children. Thank you for those faithful servants. Father, I pray that those children would come to know you at a young age and follow hard after you. Father, I thank you for our student leaders who led our teenagers. We're thankful for that great group they had today, for what you're doing there. Please move among them in power. Father, we thank you for our adult small groups and for the opportunities we have to gather together, to open the Bible, to discuss some things together, to pray for one another. I pray that you continue to move there. And Father, my prayer is that you would be with our church of the week we're praying for the fellowship. God, that you would do a mighty work among them today. God, that people would be saved and come to know you, that lives would be transformed. Father, we pray for Alan, that you speak through him as he brings the message. Father, I pray also for our mission organization of the week. We're thankful for all of the ladies who volunteer with the Real Life Pregnancy Resource Centers. We're thankful for the many, many young ladies that are helped, the many children that are helped and taken care of and provided for. We're thankful for the young men who come, whose lives are brought hope and healing. God, that you would do a work there. Thank you for letting us partner with them. And God, I'm asking that you do something now. Lord, as I look across this room, I see people I love. People that I'm so thankful that we get to worship together, to sing together, to open the word together, to serve together, to be a part of ministry together. But God, my prayer is that we would not leave here having been stirred by a great song, that we wouldn't leave here saying, oh, that was a good message. God, I'm boldly asking that your Holy Spirit would come and move among us in a powerful way today, that you would change us and transform us, and that every person in this room would leave more like you than when they came in. That every person participating online, that every person listening on the radio, they would end this hour more like you than when it started. Not by our power, not by our abilities, not by our talents, but only through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, would you do that among us today? We need you. So God, our prayer is that you would plant our feet on that higher ground and allow us to grow in you today. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
Let's stand together and sing Higher Ground. Lift your voice and pray.
So pressing this out, church. I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day.
Jesus, the
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Church, if you would just bow your heads with me. Just bow your heads this morning. God is in our midst right now at this very moment. And that is an amazing thought. When we sing that chorus, "Prepare me, God, to be a sanctuary," we're asking God to break us. We're asking God to mold us and to shape us. You know, in 1 Peter 2:5, it talks about bringing spiritual sacrifices to God. What's that look like for you? What sacrifice are you willing to give this morning, this very moment, so that you can prepare your heart for worship? We sung some great music, and that's awesome. And we're fixing to get into a time of a great message. But what we're asking right now is God to mold us and to shape us, to prepare our hearts to be a living sanctuary, not just in this moment, but throughout our lives. So let's just make that our prayer this morning and just sing that song. So Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Just your voices this time, Lord, prepare me. So Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Lives today, let us be a living sanctuary, a living sacrifice, a place where you are honored and where you dwell. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is week 20 of our series, Finding Joy, as we've worked through the book of Philippians. We're finishing today. And then next Sunday, we'll have sort of a recap of what's happened throughout the entire theme of the series before we begin something new the final week. But today, we have some important words from Paul to the Philippians. And last week, we talked about the most well-known verse. And here's what I would say to you today. If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, then this week's verse has to be ranked up in the top five as well. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, there's great truth in that, but we have to understand the context. I heard this quoted by a preacher on TV. It's been a year or so ago. We were home. Actually, it was probably closer to 2 years, to be honest. It was in the middle of when we had the first part of COVID and pretty much everybody was at home for a little while. And so when you get bored being at home in the middle of those quarantines, we had turned the TV on at one point and passed by a pretty well-known preacher. I keep wanting to say pastor, but he's no pastor. But anyway, a preacher on and he was saying this. He had a picture of a large bombardier jet, a nice, fancy, you know, multi-million dollar jet. And he quoted this verse and then said that he believed the Lord wanted him to sell the private jet he had now to get the much bigger one so that he could get the gospel quicker to places around the world for his personal use. And so he was asking people to give millions of dollars. He used this verse to say, God wants to supply this new jet for me and my family in the ministry. It's the same pastor I had heard once earlier say that he felt like your level of faith will determine how close of a parking space you get at the mall. Now, I want to say this to you guys. If you want to know what kind of theology that is and what his name was, I'm not going to tell you his name, but I will tell you the Greek word for his theology is baloney. Okay? I'm serious. It's baloney. That is not from the Lord. That is not the way it works. And that is not the context of this passage. This verse does not mean God wants to give you a jet. Though, yes, God's riches in glory, he has it. That's fine. But that's not the point of this. In fact, the first part of this verse says God will supply your need, not your every greed. Somebody say amen. That's the truth. If you have been disappointed with God's response to your prayers, you might need to examine your request for the prayers. And I don't mean to be too pushy right here in the front, but if your response has not been what you wanted it to be, then maybe re-examine the request. And I would say to you that we have to look at the context of what Paul means when he says God will supply your every need. Because I do believe that, according to his riches. But it's needs, not greeds. And it is for a specific purpose. So let's look at what it says here and what the context is. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 14. So it says, Paul says this, yet it was kind of you, to the Philippians, it was kind of you to share my troubles. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift that you sent. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So what is the context? As Paul comes to the very end of his letter to the Philippians, he moves into a time of thanksgiving. Just like we sang about, may I be a living testimony and may I offer thanksgiving to the Lord, what we just sang about together. Paul comes to the end of his letter and he begins to be thankful. He thanks them for sharing in his trouble. He thanks them for partnering with him in the gospel. And he thanks them for being an offering that smells good to God. So the context of these things is that God will supply your needs when you have done these things. So let me look and let's put this in the proper context of this passage. This passage is not about getting from God. This passage is about thanksgiving for those who give. And that's important that we understand that. What if we made it our ambition today, just the several hundred people in this room, those who are in the early service, those who watch online, those who listen on the radio, what if just us, if we make it our ambition that this week we will share in others' troubles? What if we make it our ambition that we will partner with others for the gospel? What if we make it our ambition that we will be a fragrant offering to God? Let's look at those three things really quickly. Go back to verse 14. He says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. It's the idea that they had compassion on Paul because they knew he was in prison or in difficulty, and they shared with him. Compassion in the Bible is an emotion and a feeling. It is both things. And the word for compassion in the New Testament, the Greek word, is splanchna. That word, it literally means like hitting your gut. It is your gut. So the idea of compassion is you feel it, the emotion in your gut. If you see someone fall down and hurt themselves, how do you feel that? You don't just feel it in your head. Oh, if they hurt, you feel it in your gut, right? If you see something that happens and it's a tragedy in someone's life, you feel it in your gut. That's
compassion. That's what you feel there. And the Bible speaks a lot about compassion. So this idea is that we should have compassion. If we're going to share in someone's trouble, though, you need more than compassion. Compassion is what you feel and the emotion you have, but the compassion has to lead to kindness. Kindness is an action. Kindness is actionable. Now, if you have compassion and there is no kindness, then that's just sympathy. Have you ever felt sympathy for someone? You need to understand you can feel sympathy for someone and do absolutely nothing about it. But if you feel compassion that leads to kindness, well, then you're getting somewhere in what you're doing. Let me give an example. Imagine a close friend comes to you today, someone you know and love well. They have three little children. Through a series of circumstances, they're in major trouble and they have a great need. And they come to you today and say, I literally have no money and there is zero food in our cabinets and we can't even get to a food bank until Tuesday. I need help today. What would you do? What can you do? If it's someone you know and love, you know their situation is legitimate. Would you say, oh, I sympathize with you. Okay, bye. That's not what you would say. No, you would not do that. Instead, you would say, just a minute. You would go to your pantry. You would find whatever you could find. You would say, follow me to Foodland, and we will buy you groceries. Why? Because your compassion leads to kindness. It's acted out in that way. You are willing to share in the troubles of someone you know and love. And so what I would say to you today, friends, is this. If you want to be more like Jesus, then share in someone's trouble. If you want to be more like Jesus, share in someone's trouble. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it's Paul talking to another church. He says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law he's talking about? Have you ever wondered that? He says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. I believe it's the idea that Jesus said the greatest commandments were to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you want to obey the greatest commandments of Jesus, you got to bear one another's burdens. And so we seek to share in someone's trouble. So what will that look like for you and what will it look like for me? Don't overcomplicate it. You don't even have to over-spiritualize it. Just look for ways to share in someone's trouble. That may look like you praying and grieving with a friend. It can sometimes look like you standing in line at a funeral home to hug someone's neck, to cry with them, to pray with them, and to tell them that you are there with them. It can be just praying and grieving with a friend. This idea of sharing someone's trouble, it may look like meeting someone's physical need, whether it be a big need or just a little small need. It doesn't have to be big, just something simple and small, but helping to meet someone's need. This may look like for you a word of encouragement or a prayer that you type out for a friend. Or maybe you call them on the phone and say, I just want you to know how much I love you and appreciate you. Can I pray for you right now? Just that is sharing in someone's turmoil and someone's trouble. And here's what I've also learned about this. Whenever you want to share in someone's trouble, it will always put you in the mess with them. Right? Jesus left heaven and got messy for you and for me. And living out the gospel, sharing in someone's trouble will cause you to get your hands and feet dirty. But oh, the mess is worth it. It's an act of worship. So we all know someone on some level who has trouble. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know anybody that has any trouble, you've got to get out more. I'm telling you, there are plenty of people that have troubles and problems and turmoil. So think about someone you know and how can you resolve today to share in that trouble in some way. Maybe it's very minor, but just some way you can live out this message by sharing in someone's trouble. Now, look at verse 15 again. It says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. What's Paul talking about? You have to go back to history. If you were to look in Acts chapter 16 and chapter 17, you can study it later on your own. What you will find is that the Philippian church was very helpful to Paul as he started churches. Paul was a church planting machine. He would move to a new city. He would share the gospel. He would lead people to Jesus. He would disciple people, plant a new church, and he would go somewhere else and repeat that over and over again. And in Acts 16 and 17, you see that the Philippians kept sending him help. They kept helping him. Paul would get in trouble and go to prison. They'd help take care of him. Paul would be beaten. They'd help take care of him. Paul would have a need for food, and he didn't even know he would have the need, and they would help meet the need. They showed up time and time again to help him. So they were willing to partner with him. So this idea of doing that, and by the way, right here in verse 18 of Philippians 4, Paul says that he had received the gift they sent through Epaphroditus. So if you remember, if you've been with us through this whole study, back in chapter 2, we find out that the person who delivered all these gifts and finances to Paul was Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was in the Philippian church, and they sent him to help Paul. Paul was under house arrest. House arrest was not what you think it is. He wasn't wearing some monitor bracelet, and he could do whatever he wanted to in his house, watch TV, eat what he wanted to eat. You are literally in a home you've got to fund, chained to a Roman soldier, and you've got to provide for your own food, or you're not going to eat. And so they took provisions to help him, and they helped him, and he's thanking them for that. So they partnered with Paul for the gospel time and time again. Friends, here's the second thing I would say. If you want to be more like Jesus, then partner with others for the gospel. Now, this goes beyond just meeting somebody's need like we talked about it first. This is about thinking with eternity in mind how you can partner with somebody for the gospel's sake. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, here's what Jesus says in one of his longest sermons ever. He says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what is Jesus saying? He is saying you can invest in things on this earth that will not last, and moths or rust gonna destroy it. Or you can invest in things that will be sent on ahead for eternity and will last forever. And the choice is yours. But he says, invest in the eternal things. So let me give you a real life picture of that. I've shared this story before, but we've got a lot of new folks. Back a number of years ago, about maybe 4 years ago now, it might have been, I was doing a little children's program for a church, and so here in the area, and I went and did it. I used illusions to do that. I used to have some of you don't know this about me, but for several years, I had a stage illusion program. I would cut Lily in half and things like that. If you want to see pictures improve, no. But we did it. And so that was when I was in evangelism and doing music and preaching and using that to share the gospel. Anyway, got rid of all the big stuff, kept this one trunk that had probably $2,000 worth of either homemade equipment or stuff that I had bought that you have to have the rights to do and all this stuff. So I did this children's program for an event and shared the gospel with them. Then I put it in my trunk. And I forgot it. No big deal, except for in that I had used for one of the illusions an egg. So I bought at our trusty Foodland a dozen eggs. So in the case, I left 11 eggs. So 11 eggs inside a case, inside the trunk of my car, went 4 months of Alabama summer heat in there. And so one day, I'm here at the church and I'm pulling up and I noticed a couple of moths flying around the back seat and some flies. I thought, what is this about? So I stop and I roll the windows down and get them out. The next day, there's more flies and let them out. The next day, it starts to smell a little funky in there. And so I tried to figure out what it was. I was actually driving right by the church dumpster right over here. So I pulled over right where it was. I opened my trunk and there it is, that case. And those 11 eggs. Let me tell you what happens in the Alabama heat with 11 eggs. They don't fry. They didn't fry any eggs. It was green and gooey, and bugs and flies and maggots were coming out of it all over my trunk. It was like a horror movie. It was horrible. And so I lost everything in there. A couple thousand dollars worth of equipment. Pretty much just had to throw it away. And just right there in the church dumpster it went. So threw it right away and it was gone. Now, I say that to you to say this. I did something dumb because of my memory and it cost me a couple of thousand dollars of something I had invested in that I lost, and I lost it very fast. That's not how it works in your life. In your life and mine, it doesn't happen in 4 months' time. It happens very slowly over our entire lives. And so you know what happens? We don't smell it We don't see it as bad. There's no flies. But if we're not careful, we can live our whole lives investing in things that just aren't going to last. And I'm not telling you don't have a nice vehicle. I'm not telling you don't have a nice home. I'm not telling you don't go out to eat. I don't mean any of that. What I'm saying is that there has to be a place in all of our lives, though, where we live out the scripture and we are investing in the gospel and eternal things. Because all the things that I love about, listen, I like to invest in Christmas decorations. You can go in my office right now and you will find some things lit up right this minute. I have confessed some crazy things today to being a magician and a lover of Christmas. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you anything else today, strange. But the reality is that's not going to last for eternity, those decorations, okay? But that doesn't mean I've done something wrong by having some. That's my hobby, okay? But the truth is I want to make sure that the bulk of what I do and the lion's share of my life is invested in eternal things. But just like in 4 months, I created a rotten mess that I smelled and dealt with, it happens slowly over time in our lives, and we don't even realize it, that we're not investing in eternal things. And so I want to do what Randy Alcorn says when he sums up this passage. Randy Alcorn sums this passage up by saying this: do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Here's his phrase. He says, you cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Let me say it again. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And friends, I'm going to be honest. I'm committed to sending some of it on ahead. Someday, you say, well, what does that look like? Someday, you're going to stand before the Lord. And this is my understanding when I read it, when it talks about that we are, in a sense, gathering crowns to lay at Jesus' feet, when we understand the ideas of judgments that come in heaven for the life of the believer and we're responsible for what we've done with our lives, I believe there will be a day you're going to stand before God or someone, and you can either say this: hey, Lord, can I show you my portfolio of houses I own? Can I show you, this is my collection of cars I love. Can I show you my Christmas collection? You know, can I show you this? And again, nothing wrong with some of those things on this earth, not at all. But God's not going to say, no. Those didn't come here with you. And instead, it would be better to have the opposite and for the Lord to say, can I show you your portfolio? That week that you stood there and you were a greeter week in and week out at church welcoming people, you remember that family that came in? You don't remember them, but I do, because they felt welcome. They would never have come back a second time if you didn't make them feel welcome. 2 weeks later, their little daughter gave her life to the Lord. That's in your portfolio. How about you're the one that teaches, you were helping out with that first and second grade class in Vacation Bible School, and when it was over, you thought, we had a great time. Did they really learn anything? I don't know, and I'm here to tell you, you planted a seed, and months later, that child gave their life to the Lord. That's in your portfolio. How about the Lord would say to us, you remember the times you were faithful to give and you helped support missionaries. Remember when you gave the special offering in July of 2022 at First Baptist Church to help provide a way to pay for translators to translate the Bible into the Wolof language for the people of Senegal, West Africa, that have never heard the Bible? Do you remember that? Well, now the Bible's come to fruition. Every nation, tribe, and tongue is gathered. Here's the Wolof people. Do you see this? That's part of you. I could go on and on and on. The reality is we can find ways to share in the gospel. And what an exciting thing to do. So again, I'm not saying you can't enjoy things of life. What I'm saying is never forget to partner with eternal things. Never forget to be a part of what God is doing in some way. And it's not just money. It is money, but it is also, it's our time, giving of our time. It's our talents. It's our treasure. It's all those things, giving who we are to make a difference. If you want to be more like Jesus, then partner with others for the gospel. Now, let me say this really quick about money, because I understand what it's like to have a young family in this day and age and trying to survive and how expensive things are and our economy's not in the best of shape, and I get it. Here's what I've come to realize. There are a number of believers who would love to give. It's not that they're stingy, they're just strapped. And I get that. I understand that. But can I say to you, if you say, Chris, you just described me, I want to give, but we are so strapped, we're in a mess, I can't. What do I do? I would encourage you to start somewhere. You have to make some adjustments and changes so that everything you have is not with something that just where moth and rust destroy, but where some of it is invested in eternal things. And so you just start somewhere. It's just making a decision somewhere to start. And then and share in the gospel as well, also with our time and our talents as well as our treasures. This may look like you giving time to serve in a ministry. This may look like you giving finances to the church to help make a difference. It may be you giving to Advance 2022 to help a missionary. It may be you helping somebody in some different place. It may be you giving your time and talents to work with some other ministry in our community, whatever the case may be. It may be you serving for an hour on the Cal Bus, our Church on Wheels bus, as we go into neighborhoods and use it to make a difference and be a bridge for the gospel. Whatever the case may be, find a way where you can share in the gospel, all of us, at some level. We can all do it at some level. Now, verse 18, really quickly. He says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Here's what I would say. If you want to be more like Jesus, then be a fragrant offering. Now, what is a fragrant offering? The Bible says in Leviticus that when they made a sacrifice to God, a specific one, it was a fragrant offering. That smell of the sacrifice of that animal burning was a fragrant offering to God to cover over their sins for a time. It was a fragrant offering. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that when Jesus died, his death was a fragrant offering to God. So we understand what that means. So when Paul tells us that the Philippians, now what's interesting, he says, by you being a blessing and sharing in the gospel with me, that is a fragrant offering to God. And so here's what I would say, that it would just have to take the logic of it. The logic of this verse would indicate that not every offering to God smells good to God. That there are some offerings that are fragrant and there are some that are not fragrant. In the Old Testament, we see Cain who had a token gift he gave to God, and God was not pleased with it. That was not one that smelled good to God. We could talk about that over and over in the scripture. I'll give an example modern day for us today. Words of praise, singing songs of praise to God with no action to back it up, that's just lip service. Nobody wants that, and God sure doesn't. So what does it mean to have a fragrant offering? I think it is the idea of our hearts, our attitudes, and our actions all aligned together for God. That's a fragrant offering to him. I want to make two statements that are going to seem kind of sharp. I don't mean for them to, but I mean them very sincerely, and that is this. First of all, I love to worship. I am an active worshiper. I'm going to put my hands up and worship. Why? I just can't stand the thought of being still when I'm worshiping the King of the universe. It's okay. Some of us are very somber and different, and we don't want to move at all because he's the King of the universe. I get that. We're all different and unique. But for me, I'm a very active worshiper. And here's what I would say to you, if you are as well, a hand lifted in praise that will not extend to serve is not a fragrant offering. Let me say it again. A hand that's lifted in praise but will not extend to serve is not a fragrant offering. And how about this? A habit of attending church without a heart of worship is also not a fragrant offering. You can have the habit of going to church every time the doors are open, but if your heart is not in what's happening, it is not fragrant to God. You're just moving from one location to another location, from your house to church. He wants our heart. He wants our attitude and who we are. So what do? We learn and we stop and we ask God, give me an attitude of gratitude. God, help me to have an attitude of service. Help me to let my actions back up what I'm enjoying singing in this room. When we sing things like, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, that's some serious words. And so we want to ask God, let my life back that up. I love how one commentator put this. After this is right when we see that then God says, and he will supply, or Paul says, and God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ in glory in Christ Jesus, So what's he saying? When we have shared in the gospel, when we've shared in someone's trouble, when we are a fragrant offering to God, then he will supply all of your needs, not our greeds, but our needs, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What a God we have. So in other words, as we give, God provides. It's not, God, please just give me more. It's, oh God, would you use my heart, my mind, my soul, all of me to give you a gift of sacrifice and praise. I love how one commentator wrote it. He said this, when the child of God is in the will of God, serving for the glory of God, then he will have every need met. And Hudson Taylor, a very well-known missionary from a century ago, said this, when God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack for God's supply. Let me say it again. When God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not, in God's way, it will not lack for God's supply. So my question to you this morning is, have you taken this verse to mean God just wants to give me whatever I can really sincerely in faith pray for? No, I hope not. I hope instead that you realize that in the context, it's the idea that God always meets our needs. But oh, we have been blessed. So out of abundance of that, let's share in someone's trouble. Let's partner for the gospel in some way with our actions, with serving, with volunteering, with giving, any number of ways. And then lastly, let's make sure our lives are a fragrant offering to God. There's a music artist from 30 years ago. He had one, I'll tell you how long ago, he had one cassette tape that came out. And I bought it and I wore it out listening to it. And I've tried my best to find him online for the last decade, and he's just not there. It's like he doesn't exist. So I can't remember part of one of the verses, but oh, there's this one main verse and chorus of the song that I would be honest in saying, I bet for 30 years I've sung it to myself at least once a week, if not more. Why? Because I find myself, when I get in my own way and I start being selfish, or I have an act of sin or something going on in my life or my heart, or a bad attitude or something happening in me, it is my go-to to ask God to bring me back into right relationship with him and to commit that I want to be a living sacrifice, a fragrant offering to him. It says this, I offer you my life as a living sacrifice. May it be holy and pleasing unto you. Pure and unconformed to the patterns of this world. Till I am nothing less than a vessel you can use. I open my heart, Lord, fill it with nothing but you. I open my heart as the old gives way to the new. And fill me with your holy fire until all that remains is an earnest desire to open my heart and be filled with nothing but you. I want to be filled with nothing but him. I don't pray that to God and sing it because things are great. I pray it and sing it because every week I can find myself at some point getting in my own way, getting in his way of what he wants to do in me. It is easy for me to fall into patterns of sin just like everyone else. And so I found that the beautiful words of that song, God, let me be a fragrant offering to you. Take my life, fill it with nothing but you. Take your holy fire and help me to have my one desire to be you. It's been life-changing for me for 30 years on a regular basis. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today. It's not a one-time decision that says, God, today I want to be a fragrant offering. I'm good. No. Listen, the Bible's clear. We sang about it earlier, and the Bible's clear. You and I are to be living sacrifices, meaning you will continue to offer a sacrifice of worship and praise to God until Jesus returns, and then we'll do it for all eternity with him. So we don't want that fire of sacrifice to go out. We want it to continue to burn. So you find your own words, your own song, your own way to, on a regular basis, say to God, God, prepare me to be a sanctuary for you. God, help me be pure and holy. God, help my offering of my life to smell good and not bad. Because God smells things differently than we do. Listen, I can think of some things that probably, you know, were difficult. I can remember on a mission trip just a few years ago to the Dominican Republic. And one of the men who was in the early service, actually, it was hot. It was so hot there. And we were helping children. And at one point, I had this picture in my mind and an actual picture somewhere in my computer of him on laying down, prostrate on the ground. And in front of him are three kids. And they're all there coloring. And he's coloring. And he's got down on their level to be at their level. And he's telling them about who Jesus is. And he is literally drenched in sweat, creating a pool of sweat on the concrete he was laying on. It was 120 degrees in this little building. And now listen, that was a fragrant offering to the Lord. I think about others that I can remember. We had a lady not long ago. We had the cow bus at a set of an apartments here in town, and it was a dusty, dirty spot right near what is some makeshift playground equipment. And there she was sitting in the middle of that dusty dirt with the kid. That kid's dripping popsicle all over her, but she's sitting there reading a book to that child and sharing the love of Jesus with that child, and she's getting covered in dirt. Now, that's not prim and proper, and it's not even clean, but you know what it is? It's the aroma. It's a beautiful fragrance of the aroma of Christ. It's a beautiful offering to God. I could go on and on. The reality is God's calling you and me to live our lives in a way that it represents the aroma of Christ. It might not look like what you think, but find a way to live that out. Find a way to share in the gospel. Find a way to start to give and be a part of what God's doing in some way. Find a way to share in someone's trouble, someone's turmoil, someone's pain. Call them today. Help them do something. And let's fulfill what the scripture says. Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed, we're going to sing that little chorus again that we started the message with, that Don led us in, that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And as we sing that, can I invite you to let that be your prayer and to mean those words? And then also, maybe you want to come and pray. Maybe you realize that you want to be a fragrant offering. You want service and action to back up what your lips and what your body is saying. So you want to come and pray and ask God to help. Maybe for you, you've got a family member you're praying for. Maybe you've been trying to be an example, but you're stopping and you're saying, God, I want to make sure that I'm a fragrant offering to you. Maybe for you, you want to share in someone's trouble. You know someone's got some troubles that need to be shared with. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our church and you want to be an official part of what God's doing here. You come. Maybe you want to be baptized. You have Jesus in your life, but you want to follow through with believers' baptism to show the symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Come, we'll talk about that for in a few weeks. I don't know what God is saying to you, but if I can pray with you, I'd love to. If you want to pray here, you come. But how will you respond to sharing in someone's trouble, partnering for the gospel, and making sure that your actions, your attitude, your heart all match together to be a fragrant offering to God? Father God, please have your way among us now. Lord, speak to the hearts of your people, and may we respond only as you direct. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.